Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record program number 405, titled Fifth Column, being recorded on March 31st of the year 2003. WFMU.org/Dave Emery, streaming For the Record programs on Real Audio, linked, longer URL, older shows for download only. SpitfireList.org, equipped with Real Audio, will have an article-length, detailed, annotated description of For the Record 405 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website within a week or so of the airing of this broadcast. Now, we're going to turn to Grover Norquist, point man for the administration in trying to cut taxes, thereby weakening the United States economically at a time when expenditures are increasing. This weakening the dollar, along with the terrorist attacks of 2003 and the Iraq War, 2001, excuse me, and the Iraq War, we're looking at military and intelligence operations, which are having a profound effect on the United States, so sort of mixing von Clausewitz, Friedrich List, and Sun Tzu. This is basically what we're looking at. And the relationship between the economic and the military and the political is illustrated by Grover Norquist, who links the milieu of the 320-2002 Green Quest raids to the milieu that is vetting chaplains for the U.S. military at one, sort of along one tentacle, and also deeply connected to George Bush, Talat Otman, Grover Norquist, the Islamic Institute, Al-Taqwa, and the Underground Reich. This is from the Wall Street Journal of February 21st of 2002, an article by Jess Braven and Glenn R. Simpson. Florida professor and seven others are accused of terror funding. This is about Sami Al-Arian, associated among others George Bush and Grover Norquist. Federal authorities accused a Florida college professor and seven other men of conspiring to finance terrorist attacks that killed more than 100 people in Israel and the territories it occupies, including two Americans. A 50-count indictment accused the professor, Sami Al-Arian, of concealing a terrorist cell within, quote, the structure facilities and academic environment, unquote, of the University of South Florida in Tampa, using it to raise, manage, and channel funds in a decade-long global conspiracy, part of which, by the way, is Al-Qaeda, Al-Taqwa, and elements of the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization. Continuing. The charges carry potential life sentences. Skipping down again. By the way, there's discussion in some of the information about the Sami Al-Arian lawsuit and the indictments that it led to. By the way, that lawsuit was filed by John Loftus, co-author of numerous books, including The Secret War Against the Jews, and the sole author of The Belarus Secret, all of which we've used on this program, or both of which we've used on this program. Note that the milieu of Sami Al-Arian goes directly to the Republican Party and even beyond the discussion here to the milieu of September 11th. Skipping down. The indictment alludes to efforts by the defendants to gain political clout, alleging that they sought, quote, to obtain support from influential individuals in the United States under the guise of promoting and protecting Arab rights, unquote. It offers few details of such efforts, but likely will inflame a debate embroiling the Republican Party over efforts to court Muslim Americans. The spat pits conservative activist Grover Norquist, a close ally of the Bush White House, who has spent years wooing Muslims through a group he founded called the Islamic Institute, against pro-Israel conservatives led by Frank Gaffney. Mr. Gaffney has accused Mr. Norquist of associating with Islamic radicals and bringing them into contact with the White House. A group headed by Mr. Arian, the National Coalition to Protect Political Freedom, once gave an award to Mr. Norquist. Last year, Mr. Al-Arian visited the Islamic Institute's Washington office, which shares offices with Mr. Norquist's Americans for Tax Reform. The Islamic Institute says the visit was brief and perfunctory. The Islamic Institute has received at least $31,000 from a network of Islamic organizations in Virginia under investigation by federal authorities for suspected ties to terrorism, canceled checks, and tax records show. Investigators have said in court papers that the basis of that probe is a financial relationship between the Virginia groups, i.e. the targets of the 320-2002 raids, and Mr. Al-Arian's alleged Islamic Jihad fronts, Palestinian Islamic Jihad fronts. Mr. Norquist was traveling yesterday and wasn't immediately available for comment, a spokesman for him said. And continuing now, and again, looking at what Grover Norquist, who was one of the point men for the milieu of the 320-2002 Operation Green Quest raids within the administration, helping to shape U.S. Economic policy tied into the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization, a traditional repository for Third Reich and Third Reich alumni and underground Reich operatives, consider basically the areas of overlap and the very important relationship between such things as the potential fifth column, anyway, within the armed forces, the certain fifth column within 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the tremendously important evidentiary tributaries connecting those things, and what's happening with the Euro, the airline industry, Boeing, how this stemmed, the airline industry's problems stemmed both from September 11th and the Gulf War, and the problems of the dollar, and considering Grover Norquist's having feet in, as guess one could say, in all of the particular ponds. We're going to review some information. A very important investigative series has been done by Daniel Hopsicker and is currently underway. Visit his website at www.madcowmorningnews.com, reviewing an article that we talked about in For the Record 404. From the website, this should already be up on the Spitfire website for 404, the description, that is, for 404. This is 911, the German connection of Mad Cow Morning News Archive, article by Daniel Hopsicker. A year-long Mad Cow Morning News investigation has uncovered evidence that at least seven of Mohammed Atta's closest associates in Florida during the year leading up to the 9/11 attack were not Arab, but German. The names of the seven, all pilots, have not surfaced in any press accounts of Atta's stay in the U.S., nor has their existence been mentioned or alluded to in official statements. Traveling with Atta or meeting him around the state, Atta's German friends appear to share a relationship with him of long standing, according to eyewitnesses, dating back to his days in Hamburg. The meetings in places like Key West and Miami were apparently very serious business. When they returned, said someone who was there, Atta and his German associates, quote, always came back glum, unquote. Only one of the seven is still in the U.S., five live in Germany or Switzerland. The seventh, with whom Atta reportedly traveled extensively, has a criminal record in Germany and today lives in Saudi Arabia. The identities of the seven German nationals were pieced together from information gleaned in interviews with Atta's one-time American girlfriend, corroborated by independent aviation sources in Venice and Naples, Florida. From what has been learned so far, the backgrounds of Atta's German associates seem strikingly similar to that of another German national, Andreas Strassmeier, whose possible relationship with Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh was in the news a decade ago. Strassmeier was at one point named in a lawsuit by families of the victims as a U.S. federal informant with material knowledge of the Oklahoma City bombing. U.S. informant, I think that's dubious. Who knows? But I think that's dubious. What is certain, though, is that he appears to have been Timothy McVeigh's mentor to a certain extent anyway. And there are some interesting links, allegedly, through a Oklahoma City motel between the milieu of Timothy McVeigh and the milieu of Atta, continuing here with Daniel Hopsicker's article. Strassmeier's father was once a top aide to German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Atta's German friends are all children of the German elite. Before delving further into Atta's German connections, there were two other related developments in Florida last week. In the first, the former owner of the terror flight school in Venice, Florida, Rudy Deckers, was arrested last week on a single count of felony fraud and booked into the Collier County Jail in Naples, Florida. As the Mad Cow Morning News has been reporting, suspicious and often illegal activities were commonplace occurrences at Deckers-owned flight schools at the same time the schools were training a veritable who's who of Hamburg cadre terrorists. Now, the arrest of the controversial Dutch national comes amid indications from authorities that federal authorities involved in the 911 investigation are taking a closer look at Decker's business activities in Florida during the past decade, fueling speculation he might become the first non-Arab charged in a wider 911 conspiracy than has so far been revealed. Despite settling his lawsuit with former partner Wally Hilliard, Rudy Decker's legal woes may just be beginning, said State's Attorney General Jonathan Green. Posing for a new mugshot is the latest in a series of reversals suffered recently by the Venice Magic Dutch Boy, unquote, so-called because he is one of two Dutch nationals who owned flight schools at the Venice airport, which each by apparent freak coincidence ended up training terrorists to fly. And one wonders about these two flying Dutchmen. Any relations, for example, to the Bank for Hondeland Scheepvaart and the Thyssen-Bornemisza money go-round, and in turn the underground Reich's connections to the Bush-Thyssen milieu, one wonders. Continuing. Then, too, Decker's helicopter crashed recently while he was en route to a showdown meeting with partner Wally Hilliard over control of Huffman Aviation. In another freak coincidence, owner of the second Dutch-owned flight school at the Venice airport, Arnie Krutoff, also suffered a near-fatal aviation mishap last summer when his plane fell from 100 feet in the air onto the runway of the Venice airport. It appears as if both would be well advised to stay away from open windows. Continuing. The German element arrived in Florida with Wolfgang, unquote, in 1996. Prior to arriving in Naples, he was associated with an organization called the Flying Club of Munich. Quote, Wolfgang showed up from Munich in the mid-1990s and immediately began operating a flight school illegally in 96, stated an aviation source in Naples. Again, quoting, he's half Swiss, half German. Wolfgang was instrumental in bringing another of Atta's German associates to Florida, a pilot named Stefan, who we were able to learn has done jail time in Germany, was on parole when he came to the U.S. and recently spent a year in Gündoğdu, Turkey. While regular German flight students struggled to obtain the necessary visas, Wolfgang and Stefan apparently had inside connections which smoothed their progress. Quote, sometimes it makes me mad that a criminal gets preference, unquote, said one German national and flight instructor in Naples with obvious bitterness. Wolfgang signed off on Stefan's books, and Stefan also got in on a fraudulent business investor's visa, unquote. Wolfgang was in his 30s, said Amanda Keller, who lived with Atta during March and April of 2001. He and Wolfgang were very tight. They went everywhere together. When he, Wolfgang, came into the picture, they were together all the time, skipping down again. Strangely, Keller also states that Atta always spoke German with Wolfgang, a statement contradicted by the testimony of Rudy Deckers, who told a congressional committee that when he addressed him in German, Atta had merely looked at him strangely. Skipping down again. Speaking of a Newsweek article which hinted at Saudi Arabia being a sovereign country, unquote, or sovereign nation, unquote, that facilitated the 9-1-1 attacks, Newsweek says its sources say the unnamed country is Saudi Arabia. That may prove to be at least partly correct. Still, there are few, if any, Saudis named Wolfgang, unquote. Newsweek should keep digging that again. Very important article by Daniel Hopsicker, author of Barry and the Boys, the CIA, The Mob, and America's Secret History, and also on his Mad Cow Morning News website. Now, another interesting article, also from the Daniel Hopsicker Mad Cow Morning News website, dated March 8th, Mohammed Atta connected to Saudi royal family. There are many alleged connections of Atta, but skipping down, one of the more interesting in the context of what we're looking at here, the allegations of an Australian broadcast journalist named Anne Graves, G-R-E-A-V-E-S. More on Graves' startling testimony in a moment, but there were also several other developments challenging what we've been told about Mohammed Atta's true identity. Suspicion is growing in Hamburg, Germany, that Atta maintained ties with Western intelligence agencies while in technical school, says one former German intelligence official, pointing to Atta's participation in an elite program sponsored by the German equivalent of the Agency for International Development, an arm of the government which often harbors intelligence operatives in its U.S. equivalent. Even the Hamburg Electronics Company, which employed three members of the core cadre, Atta, Marwan al-Shahi, and Ramzi bin al-Shib, for more than 2 years while they were students, is beginning to appear to be not quite what it seemed at first glance. Hay Computing Service GmbH is suspected of being what is known in German as a Briefkastenfirma, unquote, literally a mailbox firm, commonly referred to in the U.S. as a, quote, dummy front company, unquote. More about Mohammed Atta's German associates here. This is an article from the Los Angeles Times. We looked at this at considerable length in For the Record program number 336. This is from the LA Times of Thursday, November 15th of 2001. This is an article by Carol J. Williams of the LA Times. Its headline, Suspicion Hangs Over Hijacked Suspect's Ex-Roommate. Continuing. Or reading this article in part, Dateline Hamburg, Germany, When Thorsten Biermann arrived at the Florida Flight Training Center a year ago, this is the schools owned by the Flying Dutchman, so to speak. When Thorsten Biermann arrived at the Florida Flight Training Center a year ago for a six-week course for an instrument license, he was pleased to be housed with three other German-speaking students in a school-owned apartment within walking distance of the airfield. Note that this apartment was owned by the school. One of his roommates, a congenial Lebanese, was even willing to cook most of the group's dinners and lend the others his red Mitsubishi, the only transportation the four students had. But the Lebanese left a nightmare legacy when he turned in his key. He was Ziad Samir Jarrah, one of the suspected September 11th airplane hijackers, and the young German has been tainted by his association, skipping down. Quote, "It was a coincidence that both Jarrah and I were from Hamburg. Maybe that is what raised suspicion," unquote, said Biermann, noting that none of the other Germans or Austrians who moved in and out of the apartment he shared with Jarrah had been placed on the FBI watch list. Again, one wonders if that's because they were members of the German elite, as was the case with Andreas Strassmeier. Bear in mind that if that were in fact the case in either the Oklahoma City bombing or September 11th, those children of the German elite would have been sentenced to death, and that would have greatly exacerbated relations between already strained between the U.S. and the EU, and that may be just what is in mind here. So again, Mr. Biermann's observations. "It was a coincidence that both Jarrah and I were from Hamburg. Maybe that is what raised suspicion," said Biermann, noting that none of the other Germans or Austrians who moved in and out of the apartment he shared with Jarrah had been placed on the FBI watch list. Still another article from the website of Daniel Hopsicker, again, www.madcowprod.com, Mad Cow Productions. This is an article datelined Venice, Florida, February 5th of 2003 by Daniel Hopsicker. More about the link between the schools run by the Flying Dutchman in September 11th. This article is called "Four More 911 Terrorists Linked to Rudy Decker's Flight Schools," subtitled "Student Disappears Days Before the Attack." Four additional September 11th terrorist suspects trained at Florida flight schools owned by Rudy Decker's. One fled in the U.S. in haste just days before the attack, according to sources working at the school at the time. Three of the four students were Saudi, say sources, while the fourth, 22-year-old Marwan Mohammed Shamina, told school officials his father worked for the United Nations in Rome. News of the additional terror trainees will only heighten the intrigue currently swirling around the controversial Deckers, who in just the past week, again this dated 2/5/2003, sold his terror-tainted flight school, crashed his helicopter, and learned he was being charged with criminal fraud by the Florida State Attorney General's office. The first new terrorist suspect who had trained with Decker's, Turki M. Al-Masri, 22, a Saudi national, was named in a story in the Washington Post last week, which said FBI agents spent 2 days in South Florida searching an unoccupied Palm Beach County home hastily abandoned by a Saudi family just 2 days before the attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon. Mohammed Al-Masri and his family moved into the home in July of 2000, and his son was a student at Huffman Aviation at the same time hijackers Mohammed Atta and Marwan al-Shahi studied there, the FBI said. Now, three more suspected members of the September 11th terrorist cadre have been identified who were training until just days before the attack at a second Decker's-operated flight school, Ambassador Aviation, in Naples, Florida. One more time, this last detail. Now, three more suspected members of the September 11th terrorist cadre have been identified who were training until just days before the attack at a second Decker's-operated flight school, Ambassador Aviation, in Naples, Florida. In an exclusive interview with Mad Cow Morning News, Danielle Clark, a former executive at the school, disclosed that school officials told the FBI about three more Arab student pilots, including one of who abruptly ceased training and disappeared under mysterious circumstances in the days immediately preceding the September 11th attack. The three include two Saudis, Kamran Hussein, traveling on a UK passport, and Ahmad Badri, who had a Swedish passport, and Marwan Shemisi, with passports from both Italy and Libya, A reluctant 19-year-old who wouldn't emerge from his hotel room to begin flight lessons until after his Libyan mother had been dispatched from Rome to buck up her son. And skipping down, some interesting biographical information from the curricula vitae, the curricula vitae of Wally Hilliard, Decker's former partner in one of these aviation schools that trained the attackers. And also note that another of the Flying Dutchman, Arne Krutoff, also ran a school in the same tiny Florida area. Skipping down. When asked in an interview last week to explain the large number of Arab students his flight schools had been, quote, marching across the tarmac, unquote, financier Wallace J. Hilliard, 70, of Naples, Florida, angrily denies reports of the number of Arab students with a terrorist bent who had flocked, so far inexplicably, to his and Decker's flight schools. Skipping down. In point of fact, the revelation of the four additional terror suspects brings the current total of September 11th cadre terrorists known to have been enrolled at flight schools owned by Dutch nationals Rudy Dekkers and Arne Krutoff to 8. Hilliard was asked about his business associations with persons of dubious repute like Rudy Dekkers. One of Hilliard's prized Learjets was confiscated from him by the DEA after having been found with 43 pounds of heroin on board. So again, Mr. Hilliard himself has an interesting background. Now note again the role of the September 11th attacks in weakening the aviation industry. Note also the role of the weakening dollar in weakening the aviation industry. Note the pressure by the air manufacturers of Airbus on Boeing to price its wares in euros. Airbus, by the way, deeply linked to the milieu of the CDU funding scandal, and quite possibly one of the things that is basically helping to keep Jacques Chirac obediently tied to the apron strings of the German corporate masters of corporate France, to whose apron strings Jacques Chirac has his apron strings very, very firmly tied indeed. So bear in mind, on the one hand, Grover Norquist, one of the political slash economic slash GOP fiscal, quote, brains, unquote, who is currently working to slash revenues while expenditures are being increased to fight the war on terror and the war in Iraq. Note the role of Grover Norquist in the 322,002 Green Quest raids. Note his role in weakening U.S. finances at the same time that we're increasing military expenditures. Note also his links to the milieu that is also training or vetting chaplains for the U.S. military. So, again, note the interrelationship between these various aspects. Note also the following. This is sort of interesting, and also oddly and perhaps a little humorously reminiscent of not only the fact that many German firms were involved with having to with equipping Saddam Hussein with his weapons of mass destruction, including many firms linked to the Third Reich, but also the geopolitical struggle between Franco-Germania, or Germania as I've called it, and Anglo-Saxonia. Note the following as the war in Iraq is proceeding. Research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is from the Reuters website. This is Dateline Berlin. It's headlined, Dateline March 28th of 2003. It's by David Crossland, and it's basically about the builders of Saddam Hussein's bunker. The German architect of one of Saddam Hussein's main bunkers in Baghdad said on Friday that the Iraqi leader can survive anything short of a direct hit with a nuclear bomb if he stays within its 4 feet thick walls. It could withstand the shockwave of a nuclear bomb the size of the Hiroshima bomb detonating 250 meters away, said Carl Esser, a security consultant who designed the bunker underneath Saddam's main presidential palace in Baghdad. U.S.-led troops will also find it hard to fight their way in through three-ton Swiss-made doors, Esser told Reuters in an interview. And skipping down still further, CNN reported on Friday that U.S. B-52 bombers dropped a two-ton bunker-busting bomb on the Capitol for the first time in the campaign. The palace bunker can accommodate 50 people and has two escape tunnels, including one leading 200 meters to the Tigris River. It was built in 1982 and 1983 by German firm Bosfeil and Naur, which merged into what is now the Walter Bau AG Building Group. At the time, Esser was a consultant for a German government-sponsored civil protection body and had his own company Schutzkrampftechnik Esser GmbH, which supplied equipment for Saddam's bunker. Whether Saddam is using the bunker or is even still alive is unclear, with London and Washington say they were not convinced the television broadcasts he has made since the war started were live. Skipping down. The presidential palace above gives natural protection to the bunker, which can only be cracked by ground troops or a tactical nuclear bomb, unquote, said Esser. Esser said bunker-busting bombs like the one dropped on Friday would fail to penetrate the bunker because they first have to get through the palace built directly above it. The bunker ceiling itself, made of steel-reinforced concrete and up to 2 meters or yards thick, was designed to withstand the direct impact of a 230-kilogram bomb, said Esser. It's not a combat bunker, but it's an air raid shelter. Otherwise, it would have to be built with gun slits and a variety of other features, said Esser. Ground troops could get in by taking out the doors with bazookas and explosives, unquote. Construction took place at a time when Western companies were legally supplying Saddam with arms and equipment during the 1980-88 Iran-Iraq War. By the way, the elder George Bush in charge with the American branch of that. Esser said he had no qualms about having helped to protect a dictator likened to Hitler. It's not just one person getting protection, it's several people. It's the palace staff as well. I just see it as an achievement of bunker technology, unquote, said Esser. Historically, of course, German firms have been quite good at building bunkers and quite practiced. And note again that Saddam Hussein's maternal uncle and political mentor who raised him, Khairullah al-Tawfah, was a follower of Ali Rashid, who led the pro-German Grand Mufti-led Axis uprising in Iraq. And we've spoken about that in numerous past broadcasts as well. So in examining the damage that's been done to the aviation industry, in examining the pressure by the Airbus firm to price its wares in euros, in examining Grover Norquist's role in weakening the American fiscal position, bearing in mind what Tacitus observed, which is pecunia nervus belli, noting also the role of the Flying Dutchman in Venice and Naples, Florida, with training the September 11th hijackers, note also the role of the war in what is taking place, and note the interrelationship between economics and politics, note the interrelationship between war and diplomacy, and note Grover Norquist's toes from each foot dipped into the camp of, on the one hand, the potential military fifth column within the armed forces, courtesy of the milieu of Operation Green Quest, and in the political fifth column within the Bush White House, courtesy of the targets of Operation Green Quest, and with his feet firmly planted in the milieu that is potentially at least weakening the United States economically. More recent For the Record programs are streaming on Real Audio at a website maintained by sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, wfmu.org/Dave Emory, DaveEmory, one word. Older For the Record programs for download only on Real Audio at a longer URL linked to the wfmu.org/Dave Emory website and to the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. In the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, there will be a detailed, annotated description of For the Record program number 405 within a week or so of the airing of this program. Be aware that Spitfire can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email, basically, mail, at spitfirelist.com. Note also that Spitfire will provide CDs or tapes of the For the Record programs free of charge. That concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 405, being recorded on March 31st of 2003. It's called Fifth Column. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.